Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Well, good morning. Wow. Guys look good?
Sound good?
Yeah. Hey, before I jump into this and our lesson for today, hey, we got to really acknowledge something that we're all witnessing right now, which is our entire service has been led by our youth. I mean, this is remarkable. Remarkable. Like, they planned the service, so it wasn't like we said, here's the service. They had a meeting last Sunday, and they planned it from the welcome. Now, we gave them a couple of tips here and there, but they planned it and organized it all. I mean, remarkable. So what you're seeing is their hard work. And also, doesn't this band sound amazing?
Yes.
This is our youth band. Usually we have 150 people up here playing in the senior band, but this is our youth band, and they sound amazing. And do I have permission to put my dad hat on for just a moment? Listen, I'm sitting in the front row today. I don't think he's in here. That's probably for his best. But today is Josh's very first time to sit on the stage in youth band. And he was very nervous. And I'm going to tell you, as a dad, I was so excited. I had to just get my camera out and just go for it, you know. I'm very proud of them. But, man, they sounded great. And a praise team, all youth, right? I mean, we are very fortunate, very lucky in this corps. And so I just want to just say a very special thank you to Matt and Jamie, who lead our corps cadets and our youth. Yes. Yeah. It is very evident that this is your strong suit and your gift, and I want to say thank you very much, because they put the hours and the work and everything that goes into this on a regular basis, and I want to say thank you for that. And then one last thing before I start, my heart was filled today, and listen, I get filled when I see all of you. I want to make sure I'm very clear on that. But today, I'm very excited to see the Bagleys here. Yes. It's been a little while since we've seen you two, and I want to say that it is good to see you this morning in worship. Now, it's good to see all of you. I want you to know my heart on that. But, you know, every now and then, you just want to say, Bob, it's good. It's good to see both of you today here in service. All right. Well, okay. Are you ready to continue in our series here? We got another one. All right. All right, so I wanted to kind of think back, at least when I was sitting down for this one today, it brought me back to when I was 25 years old. Now, I know some of you are already thinking, well, that was just yesterday. And some of you are thinking, that was a long time ago. It was somewhere in the middle. But when I was 25 years old, I was a young lieutenant in my first appointment. I was commissioned at 24. And I was in my first appointment, and on this particular day, I found myself sitting in my car, crying. Just crying. Now, I had just finished, I mean, just a few moments ago, finished dropping off the weekly deposit for the Corps, right? So I had gone to the bank to go drop off the deposit. I was in a very small appointment. I had no staff, so I was the bookkeeper, and I went to the bank to drop off the deposit. And when I left the bank and I got back in my car, I just couldn't put it in drive. I just couldn't do it. I had hit a spot in my ministry where things became more than what I had the capacity for. I was only 25. It already happened. It was greater than my capacity. And in fact, I felt like it was coming from every single direction. Everywhere I turned, it was another thing, and another thing. It was coming this way, it was coming that way. And in fact, at that particular moment in time, we were in the middle of Christmas. We were right in the thick of it. So it was coming in that direction. And we were, that particular year, I looked to my lovely wife, who recalls these times, we were running a 130 kettle site program, is what we were running. And we, that Christmas, we hired, no exaggeration, 600 bell ringers to come work for us. And so me, who just the year before never hired anybody in his life, I never hired anybody before, I never done any of this stuff. I was just trying to keep up with all of the HR paperwork and all that stuff. And they're like, that's important stuff. The kettle assignments, the drivers, the routes, the counting, the business management, administration, and everything else that just comes with running a kettle program. I know this is a great marketing thing for candidates here. But it's just all this sort of thing is just kind of coming in for this, you know. And then on top and in between all of that, right, so we still have all of that going on, right? I was still running at that time about a church of about 100 people, which included programs, right? We started our weekly programs in the week, shepherding. So when someone called that we can, you know, or their pastor and they needed them to be there and present, and a preaching on Sunday. Because I was young and I didn't ask anybody else to do that. And so I was preaching every Sunday. And then, really what it was kettle 6 days a week, programs in the evenings, shepherding on the side, preaching on Sunday. And then on top of that, that particular year, the local Department of Labor found out that the Salvation Army hires people to ring the bell. They never knew that. And so they just decided that they're going to run an investigation on my program just to see what it looks like in the middle of Christmas. That ended well, by the way, but all that came there. And so, did I mention that I was a 25-year-old green lieutenant? Hi, everybody. Sure. And so, when I got back in the car from the bank, when I made the deposit, and I had finally just a few minutes to myself on my own, I got back in the car and I just couldn't put it in drive. Of course I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to do next. You know, that's the reality of it. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do with this stuff? But once I composed myself, I made a phone call to someone that, you know, I could confide in, and really just someone so I can just get it off my chest, right? Just let me know, just feel I'm not alone. Let me just kind of just share my heart here. And so I made a phone call, and on that phone call, I was told something that I bet you have been told as well. The person on the phone said, "Paul, God will not give you more than what you can bear," right? And then they also said on the call that he's making room for something. Now, if I'm being honest, that I was already beyond what I could bear. It wasn't that what I could bear was in the windshield. It was in the rearview mirror. I could see it back there. I'd already passed that point. What do you mean he won't give me more, right? I felt like I was playing Jenga. Remember that game Jenga with this thing, you know, you build up and all that? I felt like I was playing Jenga, and I was just one block away from the whole thing just falling down, right? And so the question is, right, when we come down to it, the question then is, does the Bible really say that he won't give us more than what we can bear? Let's pray. So, Father, we just come to you now, and we just pray for your clarity of your scripture. Father, we just pray for understanding that when we walk away from this place, that we have a clear direction. We know, Lord, what is truth from your gospel and not from man's lips. And Father, I pray in my study and in my prep that I've interpreted your word and your truth the way that you have intended, Lord. And so, God, we come to you humbly into your presence now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man. Now, I don't know about you, all right, but I've been told that phrase in some shape or form throughout my entire life. Have you heard that? Has someone told you this before? Hey, you know, listen, God's not going to give you something more that you can't. He won't give you more than what you can bear. Now, the concept of enduring hardships, right? So I think at some point in time, I'm just kind of doing a quick look through the room here. I'm pretty confident, yeah? Oh, definitely over there. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be some difficulties in your life. And so this kind of concept, this idea of enduring hardship has been around for a very long time. In fact, motivational speakers, these guys that come up on stage and they try to motivate you, right? They make a lot of money trying to motivate you to overcome the obstacle that's right in front of you. Whatever that thing is, they will say, listen, you can do it. I know I have faith in you. Here are the steps. I'm right behind you. And it could be something as simple as trying to lose weight, right? They're going to motivate, buddy, put the donut down, bud, you know. Or whatever it is, they can just push you and they can motivate you that way. Maybe it's getting to college. No one in my family's ever gone to college. And they can motivate you. Here's how you can do it. Maybe it's making that sacrifice so that way you can get ahead in your career. And they'll motivate you and they're trying to make that happen. Whatever it is, so on and so forth. In fact, personal coaching has become a very lucrative business in today's day and age. Now, I'm not talking about influencers. Their job is to make you buy something. But personal coaches is something that right now is a really hot thing. And so I'm not talking about a personal trainer that their job is to come and make you look good and physical stuff. Not like that. But individuals, these people are individuals that you hire to come and coach you through your hardships. Personally, it's like one-on-one. So you bring them in and they coach you through this stuff. So they're almost kind of like personal consultants. You make an appointment. Here's my hardship. Here's my trouble. And they say, cool, all right, let me coach you through that. Here's step 1, 2, and 5. And they get you through the next step. And so their job is to come alongside you so that you don't give up. The truth is, hardships and setbacks are something that all of us deal with. There's not someone in the room that hasn't dealt with this. And if you haven't, you will. It's coming. And so these hardships, these setbacks, everyone, even outside of the church. In fact, when we look outside of the church, there's even phrases and things that we would say the world says that help coach and get us to past hardships. Maybe you've heard a few of these sayings before. Things like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. All right, or maybe this one, no pain, no gain, right? And then kind of a new one that's been developed and it's real popular right now, keep calm and carry on, all right? So these are kind of sayings and phrases that we just kind of throw out when things are kind of getting a little rough. And in the church, we say things like, he won't give you more than what you can bear, and that God must think that you're strong enough to handle this. Have you been told this before? Oh, God must think you're strong enough to handle it. And so my question is, does the Bible actually say any of that? Does the Bible say that? Well, it turns out that we have been misquoting it our entire lives. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that God won't give you more than you can bear. That is not one of his promises. Well, that's not great. Captain, you need to stop saying this crazy stuff, you know? But it's not one of his promises. So, if we've misquoted, or if it maybe is rooted in something, what is the actual thing that it says? Right? So what does it actually say? Well, the phrase that we use, the one that we say, the phrase we originated from something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So that's where it gets its foundation. That's where it gets its ground, is here in 1 Corinthians 10. Now, in that chapter, particularly in that chapter, what Paul is doing, Paul is warning the church. So he warns the church in Corinth that pride will be the downfall of the church. And this is what he's taught. So he's writing to, he's initially saying, listen up, church, listen up. He's saying pride will be the downfall of the church. And so what he does in this particular chapter is that he goes through and he reminds them. He reminds them that their ancestors, the ones that were in Egypt and went through the Exodus, right? And they come across and saw the glory of God. They walked across the Red Sea. They go into the, and he says, these ancestors wandered the deserts. And it says here that while they were wandering, while they were in the desert, that their needs were provided for by God. They never had a want. It wasn't something they go, okay, well, we're going to wake up and have to figure it out. God just provided it for them. He says that they ate from his spiritual food and ate his drink every single day. It was just provided for. And it says, however, it was not enough for them. Your provision is not enough for us, God. They wanted more. And so they went to places where they thought they could find more. We want more. We want more. And so they turned to idols. They can give us more. They committed sexual immorality. And out of pride and unrighteous motives, they put the Lord to the test. They just put it to him. They complained of his provisions. This isn't good enough, God. I want a steak medium rare. That's what I want. And they just complain and complain. And so Paul here in chapter 10 is reminding those in Corinth that these acts of pride were met with righteous punishment. And then he tells them, he says, so you think that you are standing firm now, be careful that you do not fall. And then he says, it is not sinful to be tempted. Only when we act upon it. And here it is. Brothers, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So no. He doesn't promise that he won't give us more than we can bear. Instead, he has promised us something so much greater, so much more than just that. You see, we are so earthly minded and focused that we had to change the words so that when our flesh was weak, we had something to at least lean on. When our flesh can't handle it anymore, we say, but he says this. But the promise
was actually meant for something greater, something so much more than just our flesh weakness. He has given us a way to stand face to face with the prince of darkness and walk away untouched. That's the promise. That's the promise. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There are going to be hardships in your life beyond your capacity. There are going to be times when the burden is just too much. I can't do this anymore. There are going to be times when you don't know what to do next. And yes, there will be times when you just simply can't put it in drive. But that is the reality of life, isn't it? That life is made up of things in which we do not understand, things that we cannot bear, things that we cannot figure out. Our faith was never meant to be a tool to take away our hardships. Instead, it was always meant to equip us for when they come. We have to change the way we look at faith. It isn't, take this away. No, it's, I'm ready for when it comes. You see, even Paul, actually the great apostle Paul, that wrote most of what we call the New Testament today, even experienced a hardship that was beyond what he could bear. In fact, he actually writes about it. He puts pen to paper and says, I have something I can't bear. And in fact, it's in 2 Corinthians 12 when he writes it. He confessed in his writing here that there was something that was going on in his life, right, that was just too much. And he goes into detail. He's writing it out. In fact, he called it, he referred to it as his thorn in his flesh. I have this thorn in my flesh that I just can't get rid of. And then later on, he refers to that same hardship as a messenger of Satan. Now, we don't know exactly what it is. He never actually wrote down what it was. Because I will tell you one thing, I don't want to stay away from that. But I don't know what it is. But Paul is clear that it was more than what he could bear. He couldn't do it. He can't bear it. And in fact, he writes in 2 Corinthians, he writes that he pleaded. He went to God before in prayer, and he pleaded with God three times to take it away. Please, take it away. Take it away. And he pleaded with him, Lord, if you're there, take it away. If you love your servant, take it away. And Paul says that God did respond, but not to his request. You see, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, instead of removing the thorn from Paul's life, God gave Paul grace. He gave it, and he will continue and keep giving it over and over. It says that I can't handle this anymore. He says, here's my grace. It's here for you. I don't know what to do, I know. But here's my grace. I'm here for that. It says that he just kept giving. It says it's sufficient. He never ran out. And he says, I just need you. It's it's kind of like this. You see, when a person starts going to lift weights in the gym, not me, but I've heard that when someone goes to lift weights in the gym, that what they do is they start with just the bar. The bar is about 45 pounds. And so they'll put the bar up on the rack. They'll go underneath the bar. They'll lay it on their shoulder. And just at the very beginning, they're just going to use just the bar to start their workout. But over the course of time, that bar just becomes a little less, it's not much anymore. And so what they do is they put a weight on it. They go back in and they start their workout and they do the reps. But after a couple of days, you know what? That weight, well, it's not really that heavy anymore. So let me put some more weight on there. All right. And they do this over and over again until they get to that strength and that endurance that they're shooting for. Oftentimes, when we feel that we can't bear it anymore, when we just can't handle this anymore, we pray to God to come and just take all of the weight off the bar. Just come and take all of the weight, just all off. What we're doing is that we're actually praying to have yesterday's workout with today's strength. And so we just say, take all of the weight off so that way it could be easy again. I just want it to be easy. When in reality, God is actually more interested in strengthening our shoulders than removing the weight. God is saying, when we're in that moment, when we're in that position, He's saying, I know it's heavy. I know there's a lot of weight on this. But I'm spotting you. I'm right here. In fact, my hands are underneath your hands on the bar right now. He says, when you're going down, I'm going with you. And when you can't come up, my hand is slightly just bringing you back up here. And it's just, I'm right here. I'm not far away. He's saying to you that my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I'm right here. I know, for when you are weak, when you drop the bar, my strength will catch you. I'm right here. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. This is why Paul in chapter 12, right there just at the end of it, this is why he says, it's for the sake of Christ that I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, He is strong. This morning, some of us may be praying the wrong prayer. I know that sounds a little weird to say. Can there be a wrong prayer? Well, maybe we just need to refocus what we're praying. Because I guarantee that there's probably some of us in this room that are going through a hardship, going through a trial, a tribulation, a difficulty, a persecution. We're going through something that says, I'm not sure how much more I can do. I'm not sure how much more I can give. I'm not sure if I can actually carry this. And we've been praying, God, come and take all of the weight off. Take the weight off. Just remove it. I want just the easy. I just want the bar again. That's easy. I can do that all day. But God is saying, but we've come so far. No. I want to build your strength. Because you see, if I just remove the weights, if I just keep taking the weights off, that means the next hardship, you're going to want to go back to the beginning. He's saying, no, there's a way to now in strength and condition and endure ourselves so when it comes, we can stand under it and use our shoulders. For my grace is sufficient. Do you not believe this? Do you not believe that my grace is sufficient, that I can do this? And so this morning, there may be something in your life that you need to surrender. Something to give. Something just to say, Lord, I'm at the end. And so Josh is going to lead us in give thanks. And while we're singing this chorus, I invite you to come and just give. Whatever it is. Ask for his grace that is sufficient so that he could pour it out on you. And you will leave with your heart filled and your strength outside these doors. So Josh, if you lead us in that time, but I invite the altars to be open and to come and experience his promises the way he intended. Father, we just come to you now. And we just pray over the scripture that these words, that these things that were revealed to Paul all those years ago take root in our heart, become real in our lives, that our faith, Lord, becomes something that equips us for something that hasn't even come yet. So, Lord, I pray over everyone within the sound of my voice here in person, online, today or tomorrow, that, Lord, that you fall upon them in an undeniable way. That, Lord, that if their faith is being just shaken and disturbed, that, Lord, that you just, that your sufficient grace pour out on them. Father, if their health, if their work, if their upbringing, Father, if anything is just a wall, a block of hindrance, that God, I pray that it be broken down. That your presence be made known in their life. And so, God, I pray these things, knowing full well that Jesus Christ has the power to do them. That He has, Lord, has already given us something that's beyond what we're even capable of thinking. And may we not forget that, Lord, that salvation isn't from just this world, but it's for the next. And we thank You, Lord, for loving us in such a way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.